Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
I'm trying to figure out if I should, use this or not. And I think I will. Let me just borrow. Got the wrong one. There. Can you check in my bag? There's a HDMI doppel cable. No, I took a RGB, but we have a HDMI. I'm sorry. All right, so this morning we are blessed to be here, and we plan to do a few sermons on some doctrinal areas that we believe in. Maybe, Victor, if you bring the bag, I can find it easier. And today we wanted to look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, so if you just bring the bag, I can find it. Okay. And there it is.
Got it? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I thought I had the right one, and I didn't. Okay. And let me get... All right. Okay, good. Now we're in business. So this past week, I tried out something new. Thank you for the scripture reading, Eden. That was beautiful. If you can see it from the side, it's purple carrot. To not offend anybody, this is a meal prep program called purple carrot. Anybody has tried that? Don't worry, I got it from one of my rich friends. They donated some food to me. They said, here, you would like this. And the reason they did that is because it's the TB12 method. I won't offend anybody here today by telling you who TB12 represents, but it's Tom Brady, okay? So this is Tom Brady's meal prep plan. Yeah, see people... What? It would kill Rudy. Yes, it's kryptonite to all Falcon fans. All right. So, if you're a Falcon fan, do not buy the TB12 program. So they gave you this. You know, they start with the ingredients, then they give you the instructions. Don't worry about reading it. You know, it's just instructions. It shows you what you're not trying to read it. Wow. Great way to offend your whole entire audience at the very beginning. All right, they have the instructions. You get your ingredients, your instructions, and then they kind of give you an illustration of what it's supposed to look like. All right. So I did it. I posted it on Facebook and stuff, and you can see the stuff there that I did. And, of course, I don't have the fancy plates that they had. So we're using paper plates now because my wife is in nursing school. So everything goes into paper plates. But I did it. And guess what? It actually tastes good, if you can believe that. You know, it tastes very good. And nobody else in the household ate it. I ate it all by myself, I guess. They didn't trust it. My kids really didn't like it, but smart kids, yeah. But I did it, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. All of those things put together made a pretty good meal. It was different because, you know, you should try it sometime. Maybe not this thing, but, you know, try exchanging, what do you call that now, recipes. You'll wait until Aaron Rodgers gets a meal plan. I got you. Then you're good. Yeah, because I never thought about putting some things together. I know one of the ingredients that they had here in this was cilantro. And I do not like cilantro. I just don't like cilantro. It's just, it overpowers everything. You know, I really don't like it. But something happened with the mixture that they did here that it was just perfect, literally just perfect. I mean, so even what I didn't like actually turned out good. So let me kind of move away from this since I've lost you already. And I know the next time, do not talk about Tom Brady during the football season here. All right, so this story in John chapter 11 talks about Lazarus. And very little is said about Lazarus in Scripture. In fact, apart from John chapter 11 and chapter 12, he is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I know you're thinking about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, but that's a totally different occasion. This Lazarus, we know very little about. We know that his name is a shortened form of Eleazar. It's the Greek form that is shortened, that's used in the Septuagint. And that it means God is our helper. God has helped. But we really don't know much more about him. All we know is that Jesus loved him. Amen? And if that's all people know about you, I think that's enough, you know. You know, when you read through John chapter 11, it is repeated time and time again. This was somebody who Jesus loved. And in fact, some scholars would think that, when John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved, they think that it could be John, the disciple, or the next person could be Lazarus, because he is the only named individual in the Gospel of John that we know Jesus loved. Amen? If that's all people know about you, that Jesus loves you, I think that would be quite sufficient. But here in the Gospel of John, there is a troubling event that we find, and it is the fact that Jesus, even though he loves Lazarus, he lingers while Lazarus's life hangs in the balance. And the question that we can find the heart to ask, because you know, when you believe in God, you don't ask certain questions. I figured that out, you know. So some of my sermons people really don't like because I ask questions and they really don't want to hear those questions. We believe in God, Pastor. Don't ask, you know, we just believe. So because you believe in God, you don't ask these questions. But these are the questions that the people around you will ask for you, all right? They say, if you love God so much and he loves you so much, why does he linger when your life is in the balance? You may not ask that today. Come on, you believe God. But that's the questions. That's the question that people around you are asking. Why does he linger? And in fact, couldn't love's power have prevented this loss? The scripture was read for us. That's what his enemies ask. See, he opened the eyes of the blind, right? He healed the lame. Didn't he do that? And we know he loves this guy. So why is it that he was absent when this guy needed him the most? John 11, 35 to 37. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? You see, we often find ourselves in situations that are not that great. In fact, they're not that good. Amen? And the first thing is, it's not good when my suffering isn't taken seriously. Somebody say amen. It's not good when you go and you tell people, hey, the person you love is sick, and they send you back a message in John chapter 11, verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That's what Jesus says, right? It's not good when we hear it time and time again, the shock, the disbelief, the struggle to reconcile. Why? Because you went to the doctor and you did the checkup and the doctor told you, don't worry, it's okay. It's just regular aches and pains, right? You just need some rest. You just need to take a few pills and then death. death happens and everybody is shocked. I thought you said this was nothing. See, it's not good when we don't take other people's sufferings seriously. And I know for the wives here, every time your husband gets a flu, he's about to die. Amen? Right? I know that. Now, when men get the flu, they get the most virulent form. It's the man flu.
Amen.
They're going to die, okay? And you roll your eyes. I see you rolling your eyes. And you say, oh, you know, so frustrated. You're not taking it seriously. But the truth is, thousands of people die every day or every year from the flu. Amen? Can I get a witness, man? Amen? Amen? That could have been my last breath right there. Amen? Amen. You see, worse than that, though, is when you trust the word of doctors who know better. And because they know better, they don't want to hear what you are saying about what's happening within your own body. Yeah, and money doesn't seem to matter too much, you know, because if you're mouthy with your doctor will remind you he or she went to Yale. Amen? Yeah, they have their medical degree. It's right up there on the wall, right? Don't let them have to point to it. And remind you that you don't know anything. It's not good. See, Jesus seems to minimize Lazarus' suffering and his sister's concern. This one isn't for death, he said. Then how did Lazarus die? Sometimes we even underestimate our own pain. Maybe because in our culture, we don't celebrate healing as much as we celebrate heroism. You know, the tough guy syndrome. You just went through NAMM. Don't worry. Suck it up, buttercups. You know. What? PTSD doesn't exist. That's just for softies. That's what we say, you know. Yeah, tough guy. Just push through it. You know, just push through it. And don't talk about your worries, because that's simply a sign that you lack faith. If you believe, you wouldn't have to worry. And if you worry, it's because you don't believe. And don't even begin to vocalize your need. You know, we don't like needy people, right? No? Okay, let me say it to myself. Pastor Brian, people don't like it when you're so needy. Well, you know, I'm always asking my wife for a hug, and she keeps telling me, I gave you one this morning. Right? Right? Did you say that's right? Wow. Gave you one this morning. Reminds me of the story of the guy, his wife asked him if he loved her. And he said, woman, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't have married you. I told you that 50 years ago. Come on. People don't like needy people, right? No, let me say it to myself. We don't like it because we want you to be strong and independent and take care of your own self. That's what we want. Why? Because we value heroism over healing. And it's not good when we take our suffering, we don't take it seriously. Second thing, it's not good when your support shows up late. Mercy. See, they called Jesus at least 4 days before he arrived. It's kind of like sending for a physician while healing was still a viable option. But what do you do when the physician shows up even late for the funeral? What do you do then? What's the point of him coming? We're out of innings. There are no more games in the series. The quarter is over. The fourth quarter is over. It was a do or die situation, and you didn't. The stands have already been emptied. The janitor is here with his broom and his swivel pivoting bucket to clean up the trash. The lights are flickering. Come on now, it's closing time. The show is over. All tabs are closed. You don't really have to go home, but you cannot stay here. To quote the quotable Porky Pig, y'all know Porky Pig, right? Blee, blah, blee, blah, blee. It's that's all, folks. Amen. It's over. We were counting on you being here, Jesus. You could have made a difference, but now there is no more time. You missed the one opportunity. You didn't make it before the deadline. The test is over. All pencils down. Now, if you had been here, things would probably have been different. If you had been here, we could have been playing party music rather than listening to this funeral dirge. Half the battle is just showing up. One of my friends on Facebook say, if you try, you risk failure. You know that. But if you don't try, you assure it. If you had at least showed up, things could have been different. And even if you weren't going to heal him, could you at least be present? I know there are some people, amen, who don't want you to know when they're suffering. There are, you know. They're not going to call you. They're not going to give you an invitation for you to sit down and pity them while they're in their pain. I got it. They're very private people or prideful people. Whichever way, their choice is not to tell you when they're in problems. But this is not what happened here. Jesus got the invitation. The door was opened and he didn't even show up. What happens when your support is late? It's not a good thing. When your support shows up late. It's not a good thing when your situation starts to stink. Can I say that in church?
Yeah.
Kids, don't use that word at school. You'll get in trouble. And if you do use it, just tell them your pastor used it in church in a very useful context. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's not a good thing when your situation starts to stink.
Yeah.
See, some situations have been dead for so long, they need to be buried and left alone. Amen. Jesus not only shows up late, but comes to open up wounds to problems that stink but have no solution. Do you catch it? He comes, he says, where did you lay him? Oh, roll away the stone. Martha is like, oh no, we're not. He's been dead for 4 days, and by now, he's beginning to stink. Why didn't you just come and pay your respects, right? Respectfully, do the ceremonial wail and then walk away. Why not talk about what used to be? If you can't solve it, why unseal the stench? It's not good. When my situation begins to stink and people who can solve anything just want to rip open the wound to re-examine it. Leave it alone. It's not good. When my situation starts to stink, I really don't need you messing around. I needed you then, but I really don't need you now. That's what she was saying to Jesus. In fact, all you're doing now is re-traumatizing us.
Yeah, exactly.
We need closure. We need to seal it off. We want our last memories to be of life. And if you reopen what we have sealed, we won't be able to shake the stench of death. See, the hardest thing about this situation is the realness of a love that seems absent in our time of crisis. The Bible tells us that even through the difficulty of this situation, the sisters were broken, but they still believed. You know, you can be broken but still believe in God. You can be down to your last nerve. Come on now. Anybody ever been down to your last nerve before?
Amen. Talk about it.
No solution. You're mad with God because he's late, but you still believe. The critical thing, though, is that questions from the heart of friends quickly degrade into castigations from the lips of enemies. What do I mean? See, the sister said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died, right? Both of them said that. And they, no, but they still believe. Because Martha said, surprisingly, verse 22, I think, she said, and now I believe that anything you ask of God, he will do. They still believed, even though they were broken. That's what your friends do, because your friends believe in you even when you disappoint them. Anybody have friends like that? But your enemies, oh, it's a different thing now. They look at it and they say, well, the fact that he didn't come when his friend needed healing means that he really cannot heal. Did you catch that? There, scholars talk about it a lot. They say, look, you remember he healed the blind and he healed the lame? I think it was staged. Because if it wasn't staged, this man he loves, right? See, because if you love somebody and you have the power to do something for them, you're not going to leave them lingering in their time of need. So he didn't show up. Because he knew showing up wasn't going to make any difference. And that proves to us that Jesus is a fraud. That's what the scholars say his enemies thought, you know. They said, look, if I love you and I have the power to make a difference in your life and I never showed up, it's one of two things. Either I don't love you, but I know he loves him, right? We're going to give it that he loves him. Take that for granted. But what we know now is all of the other stuff he was doing was just a charade. Wasn't true. His enemies used what he did, him not showing up, as proof that Jesus really didn't have any power. Sometimes when God doesn't show up, we say, well, what's the point of this church thing? What's the point of giving tithe and testifying and reading the Sabbath school lesson and coming to church and doing all of these activities if when it comes down to it, I'm in trouble and I pray to God and he ignores me? See, the point of it is how Jesus answered their question. Jesus said, look, didn't I tell you that if you believe, verse 40, you would see the glory of God? See, the glory of God is things may not all be good, but it can all work out for God's glory. Amen. Anybody know that today? See, to give God glory in our crisis, we must learn to expand our concept of what works for God's glory. First thing, see, God allowed every single ingredient to come into your life today. Are you hearing me? Some of them he placed into you by birth, at birth. He did that. Amen. Others, because of the situation you were placed in, that's a part of you. That's an ingredient in your life. Others, because of the choices that you make, it's an ingredient in your life. Others, because of the choices other people make, that's an ingredient in your life. And then some are just random ingredients that just get thrown in, kind of like cilantro, you know, random ingredients, serves no purpose whatsoever, it seems, but in the hands of God, who put every single ingredient in your life, whether he willed it to be there or he allowed it to be there, God is able to take all of these ingredients and put them together and make something beautiful.
Amen.
See, maybe life is not purple carrot. You know, most of us, our lives aren't purple carrot lives. We don't get prepackaged, culinary, artistically created ingredients to work with. Come on now. We don't get the TB12 method, whether Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers method. Amen? We don't get that. What we get is Cutthroat Kitchen. Anybody ever see Cutthroat Kitchen before? Life purposefully, it seems, sabotages your ingredients. And you sit there wondering, what am I going to do with this? You know, what can I make from this? But when you put all the ingredients into God's hands, he can make something glorious. That's what I believe today. See, because not only did he allow the ingredients in your life, but he shares the instructions for how to live life. Come on now. He says, if you're angry, you ought to know that the Lord you serve is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 86 verse 15. If you're anxious, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Are you following the instructions today? Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 through 7. He says, if you are confused, if you really don't know what you're doing, don't pretend. Come on now. You can ask for directions. You can look up the instructions. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man, I know somebody would want to say woman, but it says man. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without upbraiding, and it shall be given unto you. Are you disappointed today? Go back to your instructions.
Amen.
How to live life. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Do you have doubts? It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Romans 9 verse 16. Do you feel as if you are failing? Back to the instructions. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Anybody fearful today? The instruction manual says to those with a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear, for your God will come. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 4. God not only allows the ingredients in your life, whatever, they look random, it doesn't look like it goes together, but if you allow him to take charge of those ingredients, he can make something beautiful. He gives you the instructions for living. But also, he shows us an illustration of how to live. I'm closing. See, Jesus shows us in himself what a picture of a life put together by God looks like. Maybe born in a manger, right? May have 30 years of obscurity. May have 1 year of popularity. And 2.5 years of controversy. May have a glorious week, a triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. Amen. Don't you love those triumphant entrances where people finally recognize who you are? Do you know who I am? One glorious week, only to end in one afternoon of agony. And a Sabbath where faith hangs in the balance. And what was not supposed to be for death seems to end in death. But that's not where the story ends. Because sometimes we're looking for a healing when God has already plotted for you a resurrection. So early Sunday morning, Jesus got up. And the irony of it is he was 4 days late to visit Lazarus. But John chapter 12 tells us that Mary was weeks early in anointing his body. Come on. In preparation for his death. She got it. She got it. She got it. God spoke to her. Said, man, if this man can raise my brother, what is the cost for my miracle? The cost is the sacrifice of the Messiah. And so she poured out her oil to anoint him way ahead of time. And so when they came Sunday morning to do the anointing, to freshen up his body, the deed was already done. And they were late to a resurrection. See, you may have planned a healing for your life. You may be struggling because God loves you. And he should understand what you're going through today. And you don't understand why love lingers. It's not because love loses. But it's because love wants more for you than any one of us would want for ourselves. So the question today is, didn't God tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You can be broken today, but never stop believing. He put the ingredients in your life. He's given you some instructions, but he didn't leave that alone. Because, you know, I followed the instructions and I didn't see the picture, and instead of dicing the carrots, I kind of sliced them long, you know. So mine doesn't look as pretty as the picture. I wasn't looking. You know, us men, we don't do manuals very well, you know. But if you look at the picture, look at Jesus, he will show you the life you're supposed to live. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, may you be glorified in our lives today. Ooh, whatever failures, whatever fears, whatever disappointments, we know that you're working all things together for my good. Amen. You're working all things together for our good. Even when life seems to sabotage our best intentions, we know that you step in, and by your grace, you're calling us forth out of the grave to walk in a new life with you. So help us to experience this resurrection power today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. John almost uses flat characters, doesn't give a lot of details about characters in his book, the major characters, so that we can identify with those characters. So today as we leave, just know you don't have to do anything spectacular. The only thing that's necessary is for Jesus to love you. And if he loves you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So let us pray. Father God, thank you for the message today. And we just ask that our faith will stretch to you today. even as you are cradling us in your arms. May we know of a certainty that you love us. Because you love us, Lord, if we trust you, whatever our situation may be like today, though it seems as if your word people minimize what we're going through, or our support is late, or even the situation begins to stink, that you still have in mind to do something great and glorious in our lives. And so we surrender to you today. We ask that you'll have your own way. We pray that our hearts will continue to trust you until you return, for we know you're coming in soon. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.